I'm about this close to being a chocoholic. I love chocolate. Darker the better in my world. I look at those big Share bars, you know, those big bars they sell, and I think, Share? A bunch of years ago, we took the girls to Cadbury World. I say we took the girls to Cadbury World. I went to Cadbury World. It was brilliant. Free samples on the way in. Can't beat it. On our part of the tour, they let you do a little bit of whatever you wanted in some melted Dairy Milk chocolate. And I had mine, and then the girls didn't finish theirs. Brilliant. I had theirs as well. It's hard to walk past a bit of chocolate when it's on offer. So whenever I saw this ad on TV for goo, you know those puddings, those goo puddings, I thought, I'm all in. Here's 40 seconds of that ad. It's really about temptation. They're selling you chocolate, but it's really about temptation. Can we play that, David? Here we go. Get in trouble for Facebook for showing that to you. Give in. See that at the end? Give in. That's the awful, terrible message of that ad. And the world recognizes it because we're encouraged to give in to sin and temptation all the time. When we face a temptation, our little lawyer inside of us, he wakes up, doesn't he? He does a very good job of justifying our actions. It's only one. What's the harm? No one's being hurt. Why shouldn't I? You deserve this. We can certainly be tempted by all kinds of things. What we want to understand this morning is that God can't. And yet, what Gillian read to us this morning, it sure seems like Jesus was tempted, doesn't it? So what is Matthew trying to do here? What are we supposed to see and feel this morning? Well, look, at its core, little bits like this are always all about Jesus. We can learn something here, no doubt, but we're really seeing something of the truth of who he is and what he will do for us. So when we glimpse at these temptations, we're to see a few things. The first is that Jesus sympathizes with us in our temptations. Now, that's not obvious. We live in a time when we don't really have to long for food. None of us goes hungry for too long. We're unlikely to be asked to jump off a temple roof. And I don't think the devil is going to come and offer me all the kingdoms of the world. So how does Jesus sympathize with us in our temptations? Well, it's not quite us. There's a little lens here that needs to be put over Matthew 4. It helps us see what's really happening. And it's not really about temptation as much as it is about sonship, about Jesus the Son. You see, just before this, Jesus is baptized. There's a big headline in that scene. Here it is. This is my Son. And in that title, we don't just see Jesus, but we also see Israel. Israel is called God's son before Jesus comes along. Here's that verse from Exodus 4. There are lots like it. And so what we probably should do here before we get into the detail of anything, and we're not going to do too much of that this morning, we're to read the temptations like this. I put this on the screen to help us. Israel's taken from Egypt, led through the waters of the Red Sea, into the wilderness to be tested in the matters of food, water, and faithfulness. And they fail that test. That's famous. Then we have Jesus, who returns from Egypt, grows to be a man, is baptized in the waters of the Jordan, goes through the water, led into the wilderness to be tested in matters of food, water, and faithfulness, but he passes the test. You see that? So Jesus is the son. Israel was a son. One son fails the test, and this son passes the test. You see that? Temptation, testing, it reveals who we are. It reveals that Jesus is the Son, the true Son, faithful, steadfast, and he is grounded on the Word of God. Here's what he says to the devil. I've put them all together for us. We know these, don't we? Man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the Lord. Don't put God to the test. Fear the Lord, serve him only. All of those are quotations. Not from Matthew 4, but from Deuteronomy, when Israel was tested in the wilderness. Do you see, even Jesus has Israel in mind? But do you see the sympathy that Jesus doesn't just die the death we should have died, he lives the life we should have lived? And it is for us that he suffers. Jesus hungers, but was famous for feeding others. Jesus became tired and weary, but he offers us rest. Jesus is king, but he pays tribute to his Father. Jesus is called a devil, but he's the one who casts the devil and his demons out. Jesus dies, but he ransoms us to life. Jesus will turn not stones into bread, but himself into the bread of communion and the Passover. Do you see that? It is for us that Jesus suffers. And there's also something in resisting his temptations that's also about us. Because Jesus suffers temptation almost like you do. Well, what about these three temptations in Matthew 4? Do you know, we could spend our time talking this morning about bread and temples and high mountains. But like I said, those are not your temptations, right? We're not likely to have these every day. Now, we'll come to those temptations of Jesus, but we need this better way through them. It's still about sonship. Keep that in your mind, folks. It's Jesus the Son. Look at the way he's tempted, and you'll see it. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, and then the second one's the same, the highest point of the temple, if you're the Son of God. Do you see how that's very specific to Jesus? We would do harm to this if we rush to thinking about ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about self-gratification. This is not a sermon about protecting yourself. It's not about worshiping yourself. It's about Jesus. He is tempted to forget who he is, his sonship, to refuse to depend on his Father. He is tempted to give up that sonship by pushing the Bible's limits and testing God's protection. That is the temptation behind the temptation in each case. The last one's bad too. Jesus is tempted to abandon God's plan and to take a shortcut to ruling the world. Folks, those are real moments of temptations. Please don't think this was easy. Jesus suffers in these moments. We know that because Hebrews tells us this. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. See how Jesus is tempted almost like us? He's tempted like us because he understands temptation from the inside. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what that is. But the God who can't be tempted is the God who can't be tempted because he masters temptation. Not because he resists it, but he masters it. I like what Oscar Wilde said about temptation. He said, I can resist anything except temptation. He knows what it is to give in. You might as well finish that bar of chocolate. You know that feeling? Or just do it. You deserve it. He knows that feeling. He can resist anything except temptation. We know what it is to give in. Jesus knows what it is to be tempted and to refuse to give in. Now, that is the harder thing to do. We would know more about our temptations if we refuse them. Stick with me here for a second. You're going to say, no. Giving in tells me a lot about myself. It speaks to me about my willpower or lack of it. No, the harder thing, the better thing, is that when we refuse our temptations, we understand them better. To give in to the whole bar of chocolate only leads to guilt and a few extra pounds on the scales. It teaches me nothing about the fact that the temptation is stronger than I am. But to refuse it is to learn its real power over me and to conclude that it is imaginary. It doesn't really have any power. I once heard of a Christian man who would take cold showers every morning. Now, this is before it was trendy to take cold showers. It was a daily declaration to himself that he was in charge, not the natural urges of his body when it came to hunger or sex or anything that might tempt him in the daily life. He would take himself in hand and say, you get in that water. It's the difference between you and Jesus. If there's any difference at all, it's this resistance to temptation. And that means that he understands temptation better than us. He understands you better than you understand yourself. And much better than if he had given in to the devil. How does that look for Jesus resisting and all that we've read here? Well, what we're really seeing is the hard way. Jesus chooses the hard way for us. He submits to God. Again, Hebrews has reflected on this. It's really, really helpful. Again, he says, because he, Jesus himself, suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Again, don't think this was easy for Jesus. He suffers for real here. Between the easy way, the devil's way, and obedience to his Father. I know lots of us know that little struggle. That we should recognize at the very least. So what his answers to the temptations do is they establish his obedience and his trust in God, his Father, and that we see all the way through the rest of the Gospels. They show us the hard way, the better way, because it's God's way. And in the first temptation, he resists the need to use the power he had set aside as a human being. Now, I know that starts to flirt with the mystery of who Jesus really is, humanity and divinity and all of that. But listen, this is a vicious attack by Satan. It's not a little thing. Turn the stones to bread. Go back to the phrasing and you'll see again, it's not about bread. It's about sonship. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. That's about power. It's about the power that Jesus has. He could do it. But he lives in dependence on the Father, not on the stuff of the world. What does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is why fasting is so important in the Christian disciplines, and yet many of us never think about it. Am I right? Fasting teaches us that we feed on God before anything else. We depend on him more than anyone else or anything else. We depend on him, or at least we should, for everything, even our food. Give us this day our daily bread. Listen, let me disabuse you of the fact that fasting is not there to cajole or wrestle some blessing from God. That's not what it is. It demonstrates trust and obedience. That's what Jesus is doing as he fasts in the wilderness. The second temptation springs from the first. Let's never think that the devil is stupid or obvious. He's not. He hears what Jesus is saying. Okay, Jesus, yeah, word of God, all that. And he extends a challenge about something else God has said. This is the throw yourself off the temple temptation. And he quotes the Bible. Isn't that devilish? I know. God says he will catch you. On you go. Folks, the hard way here for Jesus and for us is to wrestle with what we call the whole counsel of God. It's about our hearts, which would love to have a little verse for every sin we commit. We would love that. It doesn't want to do the hard work of everything God says. So when Jesus says, don't put your Lord, the God, to the test is not jumping off temple roofs. It's testing God's words against God's words. It's picking and choosing from our Bibles, which doesn't honor God, but just ignores him and it suits ourselves. We talked about this last week, didn't we? If you were here last week, we talked about that need to endure. I'll do this thing, sure, but listen, it's okay. God will forgive me. Remember that? That quotation is from Psalm 91. Jesus knows what Psalm 91 is about. He knows it's not about testing God. He knows it's about trampling the devil. And if the Satan had read on one more verse, he would see what's really going on here in the wilderness. Psalm 91 goes on to say, you will tread the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Lastly, Jesus says, away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God, serve him only. Because Jesus won't just rule the kingdoms of the world. He will rescue them. The devil's trick here was to show Jesus a very specific version of the world. Jesus was not tempted really to worship the devil. That's never going to happen. But he did feel the temptation of the easy way, the way without a cross in it. And the devil only shows him the world in its splendor. Did we notice that on the way by? He shows him the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. He doesn't show their need. Jesus won't just come and rule. He came to save first, which is okay. That is the hard way. That is the hard way chosen for us. And the mystery here is that we're seeing Jesus hold that he is the King and the Son in perfect balance. That's mysterious, isn't it? But then it's what we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? What do we say at Christmas? He is Emmanuel. He is God for us. So where do we go from here? What does Matthew want to show us here? Why does he put this in our Bibles? This is in our Bibles, folks, to send us out into the world with our confidence high. This is David and Goliath stuff. This is the one man winning the battle for us. He brings us victory. We do it with sport, don't we? when our favorite player or our favorite team wins, we join in, don't we? They didn't win, we win. We won. That's what Jesus is doing here. And it tells you and it tells me that we don't face our struggles and temptations alone. Go back to Hebrews. He himself suffered when he was tempted. Why is that important? Because he's able to help those who are being tempted. Now, you're going to read that and you're going to say to me, Craig, I sure don't feel that help when I'm being tempted. Why can't I feel the Lord's help in my temptations? And I would have to ask us, are we asking for help? Are we so acquainted with God's word that we can answer our tempters? And this is the big one. Are we marching in the wake of Jesus who has won this battle for us? Do you know why the temptations of Jesus are in the Bible? To show us again that Jesus went all the way for us. He wasn't just ready to suffer, he did. Let me pray for us. Father, we sit here all with different temptations and so often with little idea of how to face them. But you invite us to face them with you and your Son. So grant us more of your Spirit that we might trust all the more in Jesus, for no one has loved us or suffered for us like him. He is the reason we pray. Amen.